Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are very pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and bring in Atlanta Falcons head coach Arthur Smith, of course, also former Titans OC as well. Arthur, thanks so much for taking time to join us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Arthur, first off, congratulations on becoming the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Well-deserved. I'm just curious, throughout this process for you, obviously some options on the table. What were some things that stood out to you about the Falcons?
Really, it was just the organization from the top down. Felt really good about how the place was structured, from Arthur Blank to Rich McKay. Just the whole organization, the city, everything about it, it just felt like a natural fit.
So, Arthur, you are going to have to be bothered so much more by people like us now. I've got to ask you, are you relishing this? Are you looking forward to this? What's it been like so far, kind of the whirlwind since taking this job?
Yeah, I always look at it. I know what I signed up for. So, it's a great problem to have, and it comes with the territory.
Arthur, you look at this Atlanta offense. Obviously, I mean, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, some great weapons already in place. How excited are you to work with this group? What do you want the identity of this team to be?
Well, yeah, I mean, we want the identity really to start up front in the style we're going to play. You know, we want to be physical. We're going to play with great effort, similar to how we did things offensively in Tennessee. Now, obviously, our skill positions will be much different, and hopefully we'll add pieces as we go through the spring. But we'll play to the strengths of this team and this offense. I mean, certainly name a few pieces. There's other guys that got some good young players up front. Obviously, Jake Matthews, who I'm familiar with because of Bruce. Chris Lindstrom, who we did a lot of work with the Titans, who's here. And Caleb McGarry. I mean, there's some good young pieces across that line, too.
Yeah, and Arthur, you know, obviously this is how things go. You have success in this league, and you get opportunities. I know some Titans fans are maybe looking east with a little tear in their eye, seeing you gone after what you did with this offense for 2 years, but also hiring Dean Pease. He's, you know, unretired again. He's your D coordinator. Can you tell us something about how that went down and how big is that for you to get Dean on your staff?
Well, it was a huge hire for me to be a first-time head coach. Obviously, I plan on still calling the plays, which I will. I'll still call the plays on Sunday. And you need somebody with a veteran experience. I mean, I understand what my issues are being a first-time head coach, and you need to counter that with somebody like Dean, who can run the defense and who's got experience and somebody I can lean on.
Atlanta Falcons head coach Arthur Smith on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Arthur, I'm just curious, like, from your vantage point, what's it like and what's it been like going through this process of, you know, the season ends abruptly with the Titans, obviously before anyone wanted it to end. And then right away, I mean, teams are calling, and it moves quickly in this league in the NFL. What was that week like for you? How stressful was it? How kind of, you know, crazy was that week for you, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, it wasn't really stressful. You know, there's a lot of, you know, emotions that go into it because just the way it's set up. I really still haven't had time to even decompress that Ravens game. And you jump right into that, and then, you know, the way the league has it set up and the timing, because we were in the playoffs, you jumped right into the Zoom meetings, and then obviously the next day we had the exit interviews, and I had a couple more Zooms after that, and then I was on a plane to Atlanta, and things happened fast. And so then you're sitting there on Friday, and I was fortunate enough to have some options, and I was glad Atlanta offered me the job and accepted.
Wait, Arthur?
It definitely was a whirlwind.
Sorry, you mentioned the Ravens game. How do you, like, what was, first of all, like, you know, it's the end of a season, and you've got stuff going on, clearly. Like, do you still, have you actually gone through the film at all of that? And how do you look back on that game at this point?
Yeah, I have. You know, anytime you lose, I mean, unless you're holding the Lombardi Trophy, you know, it comes quick. It's kind of, you know, that day after the end of the season, no different than it was a year ago, and when we lost to the Chiefs. Like I said, unless you're holding up that trophy at the end of the Super Bowl, it just kind of, it hits you quick. There's a little sadness to it, you know, because nothing stays the same. I mean, whether, you know, you're in the same spot, those teams, as you guys know, change from year to year. So, I looked at it. I was fortunate enough to be able to meet with the offense for one last time on that Monday after the game. And then, everything picked up on this end.
Arthur, I want to ask you about Ryan Tannehill. Obviously, I mean, the Titans and the franchise totally changed when he came in and did a great job in his first year as a starting quarterback, another great year this past season. What did the relationship that you built up with Tannehill over the past 2 years mean to you? It seemed like from the outside looking in, you two were always on the same page.
Yeah, it meant a lot to me, and that's tough in this business. And, it's tough to leave a place like Tennessee. The things we did the last couple of years, I loved working for Mike Vrabel, John Robinson, the whole team culture, and then obviously the relationship with Ryan. I think that's an extremely important relationship when you're the play caller and the quarterback. And Ryan and I kind of grew together. Obviously, it was a interesting switch. Ryan having to come in with a trade, and then we make the quarterback change with Marcus, and then it just kind of took off. And so it was very hard to leave. Very hard to leave Ryan.
Well, I'm going to ask you about the other star you're leaving behind, Arthur, because you were tight ends coach. You were here. You've been here for the entire time with Derrick Henry and seen him grow. During that 2018 season, and I know he's talked about this, but it's like something clicked for him and the offense sort of started to morph around him. What's it been like to see him grow? And is that an accurate assessment that essentially, this offense built around him once he took the steps that he finally took as a player to really kind of force that to happen?
Yeah, that was, obviously I don't think, and I don't want to speak for Derek, but, we drafted him, and then he was the backup to DeMarco. And then, he'd taken on that role in 18, and then he and Deion were splitting carries. And then obviously, something inside of Derek, multiple reasons. It was really the end of that Indianapolis game up at Indy where he started, it looked like he changed. And then he had the great finish to the 18 season, and we knew going into 19 that we needed to build around him. And Derek took it and literally ran with it. And it opened up a lot of other things we were able to do, and we added some other pieces, and it fit. And, I wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for guys like Derrick Henry.
What about
talking to you guys as the head coach of the Falcons?
Sorry about that. What about Derrick is most impressive, and where do you think it goes from here for him?
Well, it's hard to predict the future. I won't do that. I can just tell you what he's done. I mean, he's different. He's got a unique skill set. He's a true home run hitter, and that's hard to find, and he's consistently done that. And he's a volume carry guy. He's done an unbelievable job keeping himself in shape and how he trains in the offseason and how he takes care of his body during the season. It's special. And that's what allowed him to have these runs at the end of the season.
Atlanta Falcons head coach Arthur Smith on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Arthur, you mentioned your relationship with Mike Vrabel and just the success you guys have had the past couple of years. What did you learn from Mike Vrabel that you think helps prepare you for a job that you're about to get into here in Atlanta?
Yeah, I learned a ton from Braves. Just the way he handled the players, his consistent messaging, and that's big. He didn't waver in who he was and the identity that he wanted this team to be, and his image. And so, the accountability, that's really easy to say, but it's hard to implement day after day. And I don't think anybody did it better than Braves did.
So, and one thing that you hear from people and that, it's pretty apparent, Vrabel has not treated, quote-unquote, treated the stars differently, I guess. Would you say that's accurate, and how difficult is that to implement daily?
Well, I think, he had a way, a vision that he wanted the team to be run, and he, like I said, he just held everybody accountable. It was as practical as that, and he had the clout to do it, and he was consistent with it. And so he didn't show favorites, and that's what you learn from him. I mean, everybody knew where they stood daily, and he held everybody to it.
Arthur, as you look ahead to the Falcons and obviously a quarterback in place in Matt Ryan that's been around a long time, very successful, what do you see when you watch Matt Ryan on film? How excited are you to start to get to work with him?
I'm very excited to get to work with Matt. Matt's had a lot of success in the NFL. you know, you're getting to work with a veteran that's extremely intelligent, that can operate quick and decisive at the line of scrimmage and very active. And so no different than working with Ryan. You know, when you it's a lot easier when you've got guys that are veterans that have taken a lot of reps in this league and you're able to do a lot more, especially, you know, pre-snap and the way you package things. So I'm really excited about working with Matt.
Atlanta Falcons head coach Arthur Smith has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Arthur, we really appreciate you taking time to join us. Great stuff, and obviously well-deserved. Best of luck to you in Atlanta.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, hey, thanks for you know, all the help over the years, Arthur. You've been very professional. It's been great covering you. And, hey, congratulations on getting rid of Kaharsky, too. I mean, you don't have to deal with him every day. You got to be excited about that.
I enjoyed all you guys.
thanks, Arthur. Man. We appreciate you taking time to join us, and best of luck. Arthur Smith, former Titans appreciate offensive it. Coordinator and head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. I tell you what, I mean, it's going to be really interesting. I mean, you're walking into a job. Obviously, he's going to be calling plays. You got Dean Pease in the fold. I mean, you got Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Matt Ryan. I mean, you got a lot of pieces offensively that you got to feel excited about. It's not going to look the same as it did in Tennessee. I mean, you're not going to be running 30 times a game probably. You don't have Derrick Henry back there, but I'm interested to see how Arthur Smith adapts in Atlanta.
Yeah, he got asked quite a few questions about, you know, run game, which I totally understandable, you know, because obviously this has been a very good rushing offense. But, yeah, I mean, that's personnel-based, which is what every good coach does, is you see who your best players are and you build things around them. So I'm sure it will look different there. And, of course, it'll be really interesting to see what is done at quarterback there. You know, is Matt Ryan on the move? Are the Falcons going young and totally starting over? Very interesting. Also, we forgot to ask him about Josh Heupel. We totally forgot. Can we get him back in the line?
Arthur, what do you think about Josh Heupel? Did Tennessee contact you about their head coaching job? Oh, man. Speaking of that, we'll dive back into that when we come back. Josh Heupel hired as the next head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. What do you think of the hire? Let us know on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Atlanta Falcons head coach Arthur Smith for joining us in the last segment. We'll have Matt Duchesne, Pret Sunderman, join us at 8:45. Looking forward to that conversation. Brought to you by Two Rivers Ford and Gary Ashton Remax Advantage. We'll get into the Preds' big win last night against the Chicago Blackhawks with Duchesne coming up at 8:45. But right now, Joe, talking about the news of the day, Josh Heupel hired as the next head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. And Joe, you've run into a real big problem this week. Obviously, a lot of news going on right now with the Tennessee Volunteers. And you have a laptop at the moment that's just failing you. The T on your computer is broken. And Tennessee, I don't know if you know this, a few T's in that.
Right. And
may have to use that letter a few times today.
I wanted to write the term Josh Mother Bleeping Heupel today, and there's a T in that. So that's a problem. But in all seriousness, it's killing me. So if anybody out there has a thought, I can press on it like – like if I just mash it, and then I'll get like, sometimes I get like eight in a row that'll, and then I'll keep them on the thing. And then as I'm writing words, I'll say, okay, then I'll throw the T in.
Yeah.
And I keep writing. It's absolutely torture.
So you're copying and pasting T's throughout your story. So you don't have to press the letter T on your keyboard.
Exactly. Yeah. Honestly, you know, what I should probably do is what you just said. What I'm doing is I'm mashing the key. I'm mashing it, and finally I can like an angle little some T's go, you know, T, you know. But you're right. What I should do is just go into a file, copy a T, and just go paste.
He'll just type his words, and the next time he needs a T, he clicks over and types the word, the letter before it.
And this is a work laptop. You know, my office is in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So it's not like I can go to the IT person. You know, so
mail that thing in.
My question to you guys is like, well, like, will the Geek Squad fix me up? Because I've tried different things.
I guess.
I mean, I've
never broken the T on my laptop before, so I can tell you.
It's nightmare, man.
It's so
I've got
fitting.
A lot of words to write today.
It's so fitting, too. That is the letter of all the letters that could have broken the letter T.
Yeah. It's amazing how much you use the letter T.
Yeah.
in the English language.
Yes. At.
Yes, there's a lot of T.
I got to tell you,
take
I always.
Take the Z, take the Q, don't take my T. My power T.
I always look forward to your articles that come out at The Athletic. They're great. Every time, Joe. I'm really looking forward to today's.
The Athletic?
Yes, really looking forward to it.
Great hire by the NSE Volunteers.
Yes, very well done.
Yeah. Hey, Danny, why? Why, Danny, why?
Oh, man. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texts in and says, when Josh Heupel succeeds, it's because Joe didn't want him. It's the opposite of the Clowney effect.
Hey, pray for that. Pray for that.
Joe's Clowney back into the fold.
When Josh
a little bit of the opposite effect of Josh Heupel.
When Josh Heupel is lifting that crystal ball up and yelling into the night sky at, you know, the Orange Bowl or wherever the heck it'll be. And
no more crystal ball. They got rid of that.
Yeah, well, okay, fine. You know what I'm saying.
Let's go back to the text line.
Multiple natties on the way.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden texts in and says, I just hope Heupel is the guy that gets us to the guy. I expect nothing but mediocrity out of this hire. So, we floated that concept out like a week ago when this coaching search first began. Like, what if Tennessee is in a situation where you've just got to hire the guy that'll get you to the next guy? Somebody that can come in, stabilize this thing, keep you out of NCAA trouble, reestablish a floor of 6-7 wins, and then maybe the next guy comes in and he's the one that takes you over the top. I don't know if Heupel's that guy either, but maybe that's the hope for Tennessee in this hire.
How inspiring. I hope they say that at the presser today. You know, Coach Heupel here, we believe he can get us to mediocrity into the next coach who we actually want to hire. Yeah, everybody, welcome Coach Heupel.
Welcome in. We expect him to be here for 4 years and get us back to a place where we can bring in someone better. In all reality, though, that may be the actual way it plays out.
Well, there are bridge coaches. Now, they're not intended as bridge coaches necessarily, but there are bridge coaches. Now, I've seen some people out there saying, hey, why didn't you just do the Kevin Steele thing for a year and then come back with a home run hire? Problem is, are you coming back with a home run hire? Now, you might be coming back with a better hire than Josh Heupel. I grant you that. But are you coming back with a home run hire, and then are you just spending a year not recruiting at all with a coach who you know won't be there? By the way, Brandon Johnson transferred to UCF to play for Josh Heupel. Hey, Brandon, come on back to Tennessee, baby.
Playmaker Brandon Johnson back into the fold, maybe for the Tennessee Volunteers. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb texts in several trash emojis with the Vols quotated behind it, and then says, feel like that was way too quick to pick someone for this head coaching job. Does seem like, you know, this is a pretty quick point to get to Josh Heupel. You wonder how many people said no.
It was way too fast to get to plan P or whatever. I guess he's plan H. He's probably about plan H. Plan H for Heupel.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you can go past a week in a search. You're new, dude. Like, you don't even know where you're living. You know, you're new to the area.
Everybody's all excited about you, and you somehow ruin that in one day.
Come meet the staff. See if you can figure everybody's name out. And take a couple weeks to hire a coach. It's okay. Maybe he was told, you got 1 week, Danny. Here's 1.8 mil. You got 1 week. All right, here you go. Josh Heupel.
Let's revisit our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Josh Heupel, now the hire in Knoxville for the next head coach. How do you feel about this hire if you're a Tennessee fan? The options are good hire, wait and see, not great, or horrible hire. 545 votes are in. 40% say wait and see, 27% say not great, 22% say horrible hire, and 11% say a good hire by the Vols. Who do we think is saying good hire in this? Do we think there's an actual Tennessee fan saying good hire?
Yeah, that's a lot of Vandy in there, isn't it? Vandy has clouded the sample. Vandy has entered the chat room.
I'm not saying that it's like automatically going to be a disastrous hire, even though I have some serious doubts about what just happened.
No, look at you. You're starting to talk yourself into Heupel.
I'm not talking myself into right anything. Now. No, I'm not talking. Look.
Robbie loves Heupel.
I'm giving me a big Josh Heupel t-shirt with that melon on top of it in here. Looking forward to it. Oh, man. Look, I'm not saying it's for sure going to be a disaster, but I don't know how you could be a Tennessee fan right now and be like, oh, yeah, absolutely. This is a good hire. Like, I don't know if that person exists.
Well, the person exists, okay? It's the absolute sunshine blower who's going to get behind the balls no matter what. I'm going to support my team. I'm going to wear my orange. And whoever is the coach is my coach. And you leave Jeremy Pruitt alone. He should have gotten 5 years. And by golly, Butch was bricking it. And Dooley had some brilliant analogies to World War II.
Butch was bricking? Is that what you said?
He was bricking it, baby. And there's some people that are just automatically going to support whoever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a certain, now I agree. Some of those people are fans of other teams. So basically we have 50% who are like thumbs down.
Well, the people we've heard that are excited about this hire today are Kentucky fans, Vanderbilt fans, and apparently UCF fans are thrilled by this. I mean, the reaction on Twitter continues to pour in from UCF talking about how Tennessee just took care of their biggest problem in their football program, taking Josh Heupel away. I want you to think about that. Tennessee taking a coach away from UCF and UCF fans being like, you know what? Yep. All righty. Thank you. We appreciate it. Thanks for taking that guy away from us.
If anybody's really plugged into Golden Knights Twitter, I'm sorry, Knights Twitter, please send us someone who's mad. Like, I need a goal because all I'm getting on my feed are like people celebrating from Orlando. Someone find me someone who's upset about this. There's got to be somebody, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be somebody that's like, how dare you? Don't take my Heupel away. And there's got to be somebody.
Maybe a guy on the UCF roster. Like, I'm sure he's popular with his players, I guess.
I hope so. Like, somebody has to like him, right?
Danny White loves him. Apparently. He's hired him twice.
See, if
twice
Danny,
in the last 3 years.
See, like, if Danny White just would have hired him on day one, I'd be like, oh, okay, well, that's pretty gangster of you, Danny White.
Just take him with you.
You plan A. But when Danny White's, like, all over the place, and it's like, no, thanks, I'm good, I don't know, man. And then it's like, Josh, you're my guy. Come on.
Look, let me ask you that. You've been around a lot of coaching searches before. And, I look, nothing really is probably ever going to compare to what we saw in 2017 with Tennessee. But in terms of just coaching searches and the circus around them, Tennessee's in, like, a class of their own, right? Like, they've got to be. Can you think of anything that even compares to the last two that they've had?
Well, I mean, this
one's different.
Doesn't compare to the last one.
Sure.
So first of all, that's in the Hall of Fame of whacked out dysfunctional coaching searches. I'm sure someone could be like, no, you don't remember, you know, like the Purdue search of 1973. I'm sure there's some crazy stuff that's gone on, but I can't think of anything like the last one that I've ever encountered or heard of. But yeah, if you combine them all together, it's a beautiful tapestry of college football just disaster. I mean, and again, like there's no offense to Josh Heupel. Good luck to you. I mean, hey, you got a big opportunity. Congratulations. Hey,
Rex Rhodes circling the wagons, baby. He loves it.
But Josh Heupel doesn't deserve, you know, to be trashed.
No,
it's just, this is a very sobering day for people who are realistic and who root for Tennessee.
Yeah.
It's a very sobering
day. I think it really illustrates where this program is at right now. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Clay texts in and says, Josh Heupel, not impressed. Looks like White got turned down several times, so he went with the easy move. UT is turning into the new Nebraska. What a joke. I don't know if turning into. There's a lot of parallels between Tennessee and Nebraska as of late.
There are, you know, and obviously Scott Frost, the guy who built the program that Josh Heupel has started to run into the ground before getting this job, has not been able to do anything yet at Nebraska. Nebraska, the difference between Nebraska and Tennessee is Nebraska, the way recruiting goes now, they have more of an excuse than Tennessee does. Like Nebraska, it's gotten way tougher for anybody there. Tennessee should not be where Tennessee is. It's just bad choice after bad choice. Yeah.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lindsay texts in and says, I'm a Tennessee fan and I like the hire. We found one. Yes.
All right, Lindsay.
I respect it.
I want some credentials. Because, see, this could be a Vanderbilt fan lying.
Could be.
But I'll take
I believe
you, I'll
Lindsay.
Take you at
I take
your
Lindsay
word,
at her
Lindsay.
Word.
I'll take you at your word, Lindsay.
Good. I'm glad.
But now tell us why.
We need some detail.
Yeah, you need to explain yourself, Lindsay.
Come on, when we come back, we'll continue to get your reaction. Tennessee has their man, the next head football coach, Josh Heupel. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mike Bianchi, Orlando Sentinel. Danny, congratulations. You said everybody's a candidate for the job. Is Josh Heupel a candidate for the job?
Mike, I consider you a candidate. Are you interested?
You may be right.
That was Danny White last week at his introductory press conference, becoming the athletic director at Tennessee. And here we are, 6 days later. Josh Heupel's in there, baby, the next head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Poore taking you through this Wednesday morning. Pred Center Matt Duchesne will join us to kick off the next segment here in about 13 minutes or so. So looking forward to that conversation with Matt Duchesne coming up.
Hey, Matt. Why? Josh Heupel. Why?
We'll get Duchesne's thoughts on what he thinks about Josh Heupel. Man, what a day in Tennessee. I got to tell you, this program, it's never dull. It really never is. I mean, this feels like delaying the inevitable. Like, honestly, my first reaction to the Heupel hiring is, all right, well, Tennessee's going to be back in a coaching search in 3 or 4 years. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe because it feels that way based on everything that's happened at Tennessee lately, this may be the one that works out and sticks around for a while. But it just feels like, I don't know if Josh Heupel's ready for this or if he's the right guy.
Well, yeah, I guess my question there is, have we gotten to the point where he can have 3 crappy years and still keep the job? It may be.
Maybe
we'll
so.
See. Listen, maybe we won't see. Maybe we won't see that. We'll see if we see it. At TN Racers Elite 1 has tweeted at me, with the Tennessee situation, this is a good hire, especially if he can get defensive coaches set up. No Power 5 coach was ever going to touch it. He will develop QB, score points. Saying he ran UCF into the ground, do more research, not just Twitter takes. I will grant you, TN Racers Elite 1, that ran into the ground is extreme. However, there's no disputing that the program was going the wrong direction. Would it have continued? I don't know. But the recruiting, as we had a guest earlier on the show let us know, was slipping under Josh Heupel at UCF. The performance on the field was slipping. Ran into the ground? No, you're right. That's dramatic. Sometimes I use words that are too dramatic. And dramatic has a T in it, by the way. I need to get my laptop fixed to type that later. But it was not going in the right direction. And as far as Power 5 coaches, I agree. Power 5 head coaches, there weren't a lot you could get. I know some you could get who could have done all right. But regardless, yeah, not a lot. But the fact that, like Tony Elliott, you know, if he turned this job down, That to me is like, I mean, even think back to the last search. Jeremy Pruitt was a big time coordinator at a championship program, and of course he's taking the job. I mean, so if that's sort of your standard, and even then it's like, man, Tennessee should not be hiring a coordinator. But now you have a coordinator like that with that kind of profile who turns it down. Again, sobering.
Very, very concerning. And Josh Heupel having a press conference today at 11:05 a.m. Central Time. We'll have that for you live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So looking forward to that. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Jacob from Clarksville, who wants to weigh in on the Vols. Jacob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, y'all. How are y'all doing today?
Doing great.
All right, so I'm a Kentucky fan, but that being said, I also love watching Vols football. They have a great, rich history in football. I think the hire is decent. When we hired Mark Stoops, I was very skeptical. But we've had 4 great seasons so far, best seasons in recent history, really. So I'd say give him a chance, see what he does. If he doesn't live up to your expectations, okay. But if he does, and if he exceeds it, then he'll be a great coach. I mean, look at what Mark Stoops has done.
Hey.
But I hope the rich history comes back. I love Tennessee. It's always a huge game for us. And, you know, I hope the rich history comes back for y'all. Y'all have a great day.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jacob. We appreciate it. And look, I mean, it's not like it's out of the realm of possibility that he comes in here and things work out. It just, it goes back to the list. And where does he fit in on the list? And the fact that Tennessee has gotten to this point, it's either one or two things. I mean, you've been told no by so many people that this is your best option, and that's a sobering reality, or Danny White's too close to his boy in bringing in, or maybe Danny White just knows something we don't know, and Josh Heupel is a really, really good coach, and he believes in him, and he'll come in to Tennessee and do a great job. But
well, it's indisputable that he's been turned down by other people.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
The question is just how many.
Right. And where else could you have gone instead of this? I mean that call kind of tells you something, right? I mean, it's a Kentucky football fan saying, man, I really hope Tennessee, I hope you guys are good someday again. That'd be great to see. Yeah. Good luck. You know what? Stoops is a great point, though. Stoops, not a head coach. Obviously, yeah. He has the lineage, but whatever. That doesn't necessarily mean anything. He was a successful coordinator. What Stoops has done, he has had a big-time personality. He has been incredible as a recruiter, and he has whipped up a lot of enthusiasm that was not there before for a moribund program, really. So it's a very different situation. For one thing, you have low expectations. You have time there. You know you have time if you're doing it right. And it's personality and recruiting. Can Heupel do that? I have concerns.
Yeah, I do as well. Let's go back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steven from Hendersonville calling in. Steven, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Look,
Steven,
I've got to defend this hiring, and my premise for it is this. When they hired Danny White as AD, I was ecstatic. I thought that was a grand slam. Now, I'm a confident, predominantly cocky individual, okay. And if I was that confident in the White hiring, I am not going to flip on my opinion 6 days later. I'm not going to go to a five-star restaurant, tell the chef, cook me anything you want, and as soon as the plate sat down, go, where's Logan's? Look, obviously coaches turn the job down, but if Heupel isn't number one, wasn't number two, probably wasn't number 10, but it's the best you've got. So let's look at the positives. This offense has absolutely been trash for since my son was born. And this is with NFL talent. That's embarrassing. Now, look at what Heupel did the last time he was an OC in the SEC for Missouri,
yep.
Which is maybe a half step better than Nebraska. It led the SEC in scoring. So I think Heupel has the potential to get Tennessee back to respectability so when they fire him, we can get maybe our third or fourth choice, not our 12th.
Thank you for the call, Steven. We appreciate it. It is – I mean, look, the offense – I'll say this. You know, the offensive line is going to look much different next year. I don't know exactly how strong they're going to be in that area. Even with that being said, it's difficult for me to imagine that offense being as bad next year as it was this past year. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt, Jarrett Garantano, Jim Chaney, that trio, that's going to be tough to top in terms of ineptitude. So I think if you're a Tennessee fan, you feel good about that. Now, again, that should not be the standard, is to be better than that trio offensively and what they tossed out there last year. But I do think Heupel has a good system offensively that works at certain levels of college football. Is it going to work in the SEC with the talent not being up to par right now to Florida, to Georgia, to Alabama? That's going to be the question. Can this system work at this level? That's what I'm curious to see.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, when Ryan Bass – came on earlier, of course, he mentioned, you know, it's like Chip Kelly's offense. You know, I mean, this stuff was a lot more effective, like, for example, when he was at Missouri, right? I mean, there's a lot of cyclical schematic stuff in football and pro and college that there's windows of time where everybody's trying to figure it out and catch up with it, and then what you have is a lot of people copy it, and then you have defenses finding it much easier to defend. I think certainly, I mean, even like Indiana a few years ago with Kevin Wilson as coach, they went so fast. It was hard. They still lost those games. They didn't have the talent, but they pushed teams because the scheme was just not something people had seen. Now everybody's seen it. And so, look, I think it will definitely be more fun to watch than this crap that we saw this year.
Like, it's still better than the 2003 offense we saw them run this past year at Tennessee. That's for sure.
Yes, and you got to have hope for quarterback development, and you know, we'll see with Harrison Bailey. Again, I'm gonna shout out again to my son's middle school football coach, Coach Brandon hit. He may have scooped the Harrison Bailey transfer to Penn State. We'll see. He thought he was scooping James Franklin to Tennessee, but maybe it's the other way around. But even if they lose Bailey, who of course his dad said like Pruitt or Pruitt for life or whatever on Twitter, you know, Caden Salter is coming in and he's a talented guy. You're going to get talented quarterbacks at Tennessee.
Hendon Hooker in there. Yeah.
Hendon Hooker is coming in. You're going to get talented quarterbacks at Tennessee. Can you develop them? That's the most positive thing I think you can say about this hire is that he has done that and his offense will be fun to watch. And then I'm kind of at a loss.
Just kind of reaching after that, trying to figure out what's he going to do defensively. I mean, there's a lot of questions still yet to be answered, but I know this. It's going to be a very intriguing press conference today at 11:05 for Josh Heupel. And, of course, you can hear that here on ESPN 102.5 The Game as well. When we come back, we will switch gears. Our man Matt Duchesne, Predator Cinnamon, will join us on the next segment. We'll get into the big win last night against the Chicago Blackhawks. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Granlund out on the right circle. Leaves the puck. Here is Josi cutting in. Josi slides it in, and the Predators win it overtime. Robin Josi took the feed and tucked it home for the overtime game winner. And it comes at 1:57.
I saw some space. Granny made a good play down low, and he dropped it to me, and I saw that I had some space. And, from then I was thinking about just taking it to net and, make a move on the goalie. And, luckily went in.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning. The Preds get it done last night. Roman Josi does another Bobby Orr impression, and they take down the Blackhawks 3-2 in overtime. And to help us talk about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Preds centerman Matt Duchesne, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage, and Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople. Matt, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. And Matt, last night, an example of you guys are doing all the right things, and sometimes it's hard to stay patient and keep from getting frustrated. You guys did that last night. You pushed through. Big win last night against the Hawks.
Yep. No, for sure. I think, we had a similar game against Carolina that we didn't get the results. And I think we've had four games in a row now. We haven't given up more than like 25 shots. So that's pretty impressive. And it's to be 1-3 in those games is even more bizarre. So the offense is hard to come by right now in terms of the results. But I think we're generating a lot more than we did last year, and there's a lot of good things. So we just got to stick with it, and hopefully we start getting rewarded a little more.
So, I mean, we're six games in, Matt, so I know on our side of the microphone here we overreact to everything, but it still feels to me like 3-3 right now is a lot different than what 2-4 would have been.
Yeah, I think so. I think that would have been kind of a, you know, a kick in the groin, I guess, obviously with how we've played. And, you know, I've never played in a 7-0 loss where we deserved a win in my life, let alone career in the NHL. If you look at that game in Dallas, we had 7.5 minutes more in the O-zone than they did 5-on-5. And that's like massive. Those are massive numbers. And outchanced them by a lot, and they just got every bounce on their power play they possibly could, and it's kind of been a funny year that way so far. You see that kind of stuff in the first 10 games, though. There's always anomalies. There's guys that are and teams that are super hot, can't do anything wrong, and then there's teams that can't do anything right. And we're somewhere probably near the can't do anything right part, but we're still 500, and that sometimes you just got to grind things out while the going's tough, and eventually things turn around.
And Matt, speaking of grinding things out, and you've talked about this, I mean, you're feeling good, you're playing really well, you look at the analytics and the numbers, I mean, they're all there, the chances are there, and you ring one off the pipe last night, and I felt for you, I just saw the camera angle after, and you're just smiling, so many chances. How do you stay positive when you're getting the looks, you're getting all the chances, you just haven't been able to quite get one to break through yet at this point?
I mean, It's kind of comical at this point. I think I don't know if I've played quite this way, definitely not in a Preds jersey, but let alone my career. And you know, I think just the chances, the numbers, and, you know, I make one mistake and it ends up in our net. it's crazy right now, but I think, you know, it's a little bit of a test, a little bit of adversity, and, you know, the big thing is staying with it. I think, you know, pretty, you know, if I keep doing what I'm doing right now and sticking with, you know, the process and the behaviors and everything that I've got going on, you know, I'm going to give myself a chance to have, you know, a good run here individually, which will help the team. And I think, you know, if things have gone in for me the way they probably should have in my line, you know, I think we probably have at least one more win, maybe two. So we just got to stick with it. And I know that, you know, guys are kind of like laughing at, like, they can't even believe kind of the stretch I'm on here. So I've been through it before, unfortunately, and I kind of know that's par for the course. When you play hockey, there's nothing guaranteed. I think it's one of the only sports where you can do all the right things and not get the results. You know, but I think for me, it's just about staying hungry and keep my head down and not letting it get to me and get, you know, distract me from what I need to do to help the team win. And obviously there's more to that to help the team win than just scoring and putting up points. So I think that part of the game I've been happy with, and I just got to keep doing it.
Do you have any, like, superstitious stuff, Matt? Like, I mean, I'm thinking about, like, baseball hitters, you know, someone, like, bless my bat or whatever, you know, like, like, you get into anything like that or, you know, just...
No, not really. I think this year's probably been, you know, the least superstitious I've been. You know, I have routines and stuff that I do all the time, but I think this year I've just been more relaxed this year. Just about, you know, my game and what I need to do, and haven't been putting as much pressure on myself. And I think that's why, you know, the performance is there, I guess, and the results will come. I think it's just obviously a matter of time. And, you know, that chance I had in the first period last night, I mean, that's just bad ice at the end of a period that takes that one away. It's that there's nothing else to say about that one. And obviously a goal post and a few other good looks, a couple tips that could have gone in. So I think it's one of those things where, you know, it's nice to have the support of my teammates right now, and you know, they've been great. I mean, they know kind of, you know, how it's gone, and but it's nice to have their support. And I mean, at the end of the day, we got a W last night, and that's the most important thing. And you know, it makes you feel a little bit better that you know when you don't score and you don't provide that offense that you should have during the game when you get the win. So tonight, you know, different story. Hopefully for myself, and same story for the team.
Brett Centerman, Matt Duchesne on the line with us, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople. And Matt, Joe brought up there, like, the superstitions, and I remember when Paul Kariya was here, like, he was famous for, like, if one part of his routine went wrong, he just freaked out. Like, I mean, some of the stories coming out of the locker room, you wouldn't believe. I mean, in your time in the league, have you seen any crazy superstitions where you just look at a guy and you're like, what are you doing? Like, you don't have to name names or anything like that, but how common are, like, off-the-wall superstitions in the NFL or in NHL, excuse me?
Off-the-wall stuff, not a ton. I've seen the odd thing here and there that, you know, is a little bizarre, but no, guys are pretty – hockey players are pretty chill with stuff. I've heard some Paul Kariya stories for sure. Obviously, I've played two places now that he's been, and my uncle coached him when he was in Anaheim, and obviously worked for him, Hall of Famer. So, but I've heard funny stories about him making his wife ride in the back of the car because she wanted to ride downtown when he was going down. Yeah, pretty funny stuff. But I haven't seen too much. I've seen a guy take all his gear out of his stall and put it back, all back. I think that was more of an OCD thing than superstition, but yeah, that's probably the most bizarre thing I've seen.
So, Matt, obviously you guys coming off your first road trip, and it's not the same on the road with the COVID protocols and everything that's going on. What was life like on the road in Dallas? What did you guys do? Did you get bored? Like, what was going on?
It sucks to not be able to go for dinner. I mean, going for dinner, road dinners are the best part of the road with the guys, and go have a nice, you know, nice dinner and a couple glasses of wine and, you know, tell stories and, you know, just be guys, I guess. I miss that part for sure. But we still got some of that, obviously, social distance with masks on stuff. We have a team lounge, and we watched we were watching hockey and we were watching stuff together and, you know, talking about the game. And I think it's so important to get together still and, you know, obviously not break any rules. But you got to become closer to the team. And I feel like this team's closer than we were last year. And that's credit to some of the guys we brought in. I think, just some different personalities, more outgoing guys. And, you know, I think that, you just got to find ways to create a new normal. And honestly, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't as good as it usually is, but at the same time, these two game sets are kind of fun, to be honest. I like it. I'd like to see them keep actually within our division, where you get to kind of stay overnight at a hotel after in the city that you, you play in that, that night. You get more time together. And, I think that's something that we're all going to miss when we're done playing, is that camaraderie and the time together. And, it's so important for winning teams. And I think that, we're getting together more as a group, even with the restrictions. I think that's something we've taken a step in as a team. And I think we're playing better hockey this year than we did last year. It's a way different vibe. I don't know what it looks like from your guys' point of view, but, it's a different team and different feel. I think 3-3 is probably as bad of a record as we could possibly have at this point. So, like I said, it's a little adversity, and we'll keep pushing, and we're doing a lot of really good things. And you do the same, you do the right things over and over, eventually you get the results, and that's just what we got to focus on.
All right, so Matt, I've got a hard-hitting off-topic question for you, and it's not on Tennessee's football coaching hire, Josh Heupel, although if you'd like to weigh in on that, we certainly welcome your thoughts. But I want to go back to a word you said earlier. You said the word process. Mm-hmm. And I know many Canadians who say process.
Yes.
Now, why are you a process guy, and is that a regional thing within Canada?
I think I say both, to be honest. just depends on what side of the bed I wake up on, I guess. I say both of them. I don't know. We obviously get a big American influence. I didn't know that was a Canadian thing, actually, the process thing. But, I think it just depends on the day, what one I say.
What's your favorite, you know, Canadian pronunciation that is different here?
Oh, man. Well, you guys like to take letters out. I had a conversation about this yesterday. It's so funny to bring this up. You guys like to add syllables and letters in that aren't there and take some out. Like, we were talking about the word realtor, which you guys all say realtor.
We do that. That is true.
Yeah, which is bizarre. My wife's American, so I give it to her all the time. And I have OCD, I think, with pronunciation and stuff. So, and then the other one is badminton. So the game where you hit the birdie round.
Oh, yeah.
How do you guys say badminton?
Badminton.
I say badminton, yeah.
It's badminton?
Well, I mean, that's how it's
spelled.
Right?
Yes, he's got a point.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So I hear my wife said it the first time, and I said, "What did you just say?" Like, years ago. I was floored. I was like, there's no way you say that like that. And I even talked to a guy last night who's one of our athletic therapists. He's from Buffalo, and he said badminton. And he didn't even know there was an N in it. I'm like, dude, there's an N in there. Like, you're just skipping the N out. Like, it's it's pretty funny. We speak pretty to the letter, literally, up north. I mean, I know we got the accent with some of the O's and U's and stuff like that, but this is a whole other conversation we need another show for.
I know. Well, you know, my favorite is we say against, you know, it's going to be Preds against Blackhawks. You guys say against, which I just think is awesome. And that is actually how it's spelled.
Yeah, you know what? That one, that's like process and process. We say both. I would say, I think I say against more than against. That one's a 50-50. That's a 50-50. But yeah, definitely. The other one is organization versus organization.
Oh, yes. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Shea Weber used to be big about that one, and every time he would say it, like, I would want to laugh, but then I'd realize it was Shea Weber. And if I laughed in front of that guy, it could end poorly for me, so I didn't do that.
Yeah, he's a big guy. but that one could go either way. I don't know who's right in that one, but yeah, it's kind of funny how similar we all are in terms of American versus Canadian and how different we are at the same time. I always marvel over that.
Yeah, we can do a whole show on this at some point. We can do an hour on this with Matt.
We might have to at some point. Brad Centerman, Matt Duchesne has been our guest, brought to you by Gary Ashton, Remax Advantage, and Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople. Matt, great stuff as always. We appreciate you taking time to join us. Good luck tonight against the Hawks, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Brad Centerman, Matt Duchesne here with us on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Tennessee coaching search. Josh Heupel, the new hire at Tennessee. Get your reaction next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.